Large battles in space, Kai remembered being told in Advanced Tactics, had two main problems. Command and control, when ships were far enough apart to suffer light lag in communications and scan, and debris fields that rapidly made large volumes of space very unpleasant places for ships. Weapons continued until they ran into something. Debris from damaged ships did the same. In the long run, that something might be a gravitational sink, like a planet. But in the short run, in the period of the battle itself, micro-jumping around anywhere near a space battle risked returning to normal space right in front of, or attempting to occupy the same space as, something lethal. Already, the tech computer had marked out swaths of the system as potential kill zones, where it would be extremely dangerous to come out of jump, just from Pettigrew's data on the pirate ships.
We're going to have to jump out farther. Dan, would Bissonette's ship's computers display our view of things?
Yes, to anticipate our movements.
So, they will, or already have, filled what now look like safe zones with bad stuff. I think it's time we put a good, healthy distance between ourselves and them. Say, a couple of days.
That'll put us a long way from the jump point if we need to get out of the system.
I don't think we'll need to leave the system entirely. ISC will figure out soon enough that we're not the enemy, and McKenzie already knows it. If McKenzie and ISC team up against the pirates... Oh, no, wait. We need to tell the ISC ships that the Blue Ridge Bunch are the real pirates. Now, they may not believe us, but we have to warn them. Send it as text, not audio. Tight beam from Kai Vada to the ISC commander. Blue Ridge ship IDs are faked. Former Bissonette militia personnel with our force recognized serial number as from Bissonette Defense Forces. We believe these are the same pirates who attacked Bissonette and other systems. Extreme caution. The Bissonette ships are modern and well-equipped. Specs follow. And then squirt them the weapon specs we got from Pettigrew.
Yes, Captain. It'll be hours before they get this.
And it may be too late. I understand that. But the evidence that we tried will be around for a long time.
A message from Mater. They said get out now. They're jumping to that place you talked about.
That's no good now. Not with ISC already in the system. I hope they change to the alternate. Kai looked at the TAC computer's plot again. Captain Argelos, you can do a two-day jump, right?
Yes, that's no problem.
All right. Ransom, are you there?
Right here, Captain Vata. Wants us to blow on the way for you. I've got him in my sights. That'll shake him up a little.
No, I want you to microjump to these coordinates.
She sent them, one for each of his ships, safely separated by a couple of thousand kilometers.
On my mark. All ships in Space Defense Force prepare to microjump to assigned coordinates. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now!
The monitor screens blanked momentarily, then lit again as Vanguard skipped 2 light days away from its previous position. Here, they were safe, for a while, from any weapons that had fired at them before they jumped, and their position would not register on those ship scans for days. Only the luckiest of random skip searches would locate them. Unfortunately, they could not see what was going on. Their scan lag was the same as the others. Within a few minutes, Ransom called Kai.
Why don't you let me take a look closer in? I can relay scan data to you. You'd know what was going on. I can find Mater and make sure she's not in any danger. Or even get really close and tell her where we are. It was helpful before, wasn't it? And it would be so much more fun than sitting out here wondering and worrying.
It's really dangerous. If the pirates and ISC start shooting at each other, and I expect they will, a very large volume of space will be a kill zone. Including hanging out behind one of the pirate ships.
No, I'm not worried about that. None of us are.
You should be. Have you ever been in a large multi-ship battle? It could overwhelm your computing capacity.
His offer was tempting, though. She wanted very much to know if the ISC contingent would collect its message from the Ansible, if the pirates were taking on ISC or fleeing, if the McKenzie relief convoy had arrived.
There's risk in everything. And we're small and hard to find and hit. It would be great sport, eh? Sneak in behind those Blue Ridge fellows again, and if I blew one up, then ISC would know we weren't the enemy, wouldn't they?
Not if the pirates have convinced them that Blue Ridge is a legitimate military organization.
Kai looked into Ransom's eager face. She had the distinct feeling that he was going to do something rash no matter what she said. And after all, he had insisted that they weren't completely under her command.
Look, Captain Ransom, your Rangers are very valuable to me as scouts. Now that the larger ships are safe for some hours, as long as we're not located, I appreciate your offer, and I agree that we should have some closer-in observation. But I want to be sure you're fully aware of the hazards. Scan can't detect everything in a crowded battle zone. Precisely because you've proven yourself so valuable, I don't want to lose any of you.
Ransom grinned at her, already eager, she could tell, to throw himself into something risky.
Thank you, Captain Vata. But I'm sure we can get the information you need without getting caught. We'll toss for the honor. I went last time, and it's only fair to give the other fellows a chance at glory.
Or death. Kai had seen what ship weapons could do. Some of the casualties still clung to life in sickbay. But they needed the information, and Ransom and his fellows were all adults.
Go ahead, then. If you can disperse safely and give me more than one observation point.
Oh, splendid! I'll just tell the fellows and we'll be off.
Cannon fodder. But he's right and you're right. We need to know what's going on, especially if some of them start hopping around the outer system looking for us. I'll say this for him and his bunch. They're brave and they're good ship handlers. No more sense than a bunch of schoolboys, but that much they have.
Kai called the other ships and explained that the Rangers would be going back to provide more current data on the situation.
Do you want to be linked to the reports as they come in? If you'd rather take a shift off and rest your crew, I'll have it recorded for you to play later.
I could go back as well. After all, this ship can be stealthed.
No, I don't want to risk my last scout ship. If you want to move back about one light day, fine, but no closer.
Then I might do you more good taking high guard, looking for anything coming in away from the jump point.
Good idea. Since we know the pirates have onboard ansibles, they could call in reinforcements.
Reinforcements could even be in the system, but far out, able to jump in within seconds to minutes. Kai shivered at the thought of the entire pirate fleet showing up, smashing ISC's fleet and the Mackenzie relief convoy, and then coming after her little group. Would ISC, even Rafe, believe it had been pirates who destroyed their fleet when they knew it had come after her? Before she had time to worry more about that, the Rangers began to report in. Furious, with St. Cyrian in command, tucked in behind one of the Blue Ridge pirate triads.
We picked up the pirates' Ansible transmissions on their channels, but we only understand a word every now and then. They speak the most awful jargon. I think it must be a private language or something. Here's a sample.
He forwarded an audio file. Kai shunted it to storage for later analysis.
They're also active on regular comm, not tight beam to the ISC fleet. Same thing they told us about themselves, a regular military outfit chasing pirates. Claiming you're a notorious privateer turned pirate on a stolen ship, convicted in absentia of a whole string of crimes. Asking ISC to join them in hunting you down. The ISC commander's answered that he has to pick up any messages on the system answerable first, and they're trying to get him to ignore that. Our jumping out is evidence of guilt and all that rot. One of the ISC ships has left their initial formation and looks to be headed for the system Ansible. If the pirates have an inkling of what the message is, I'll bet they scupper him.
Good work.
Glorious, positioned just outside the jump point, offered an analysis of inbound tracks.
No more ships have entered since the ISC ships, and they're now under acceleration. We can't pick up their transmissions easily, but the ship that seemed headed for the system Ansible should be there in another 4 hours. We'll stay here so we can monitor jump point usage.
Courageous, with Baskerville commanding, was standing by Mater.
They've had no damage so far, but Colonel Kalin says the captain would like to move further out. That's a long way from where the action is. Unless you need me for direct communications with them, I just as soon stay in close.
We need the communications. When the Mackenzie convoy shows up, we need to be able to tell them where their ship is. At least they know from that one message that we're on the same side.
Baskerville did not quite pout, but Kai could tell he was disappointed.
Besides, Mater may be a warship, but at the moment she's out of ammunition and full of wounded. She needs protection. She's safer alone than with us at the moment, but you're the only way she can have real-time communications to call for help.
Oh, so we might be attacked anywhere.
Yes, and you will be an enormous help to her. I understand it may seem like just standing out of the way.
No, that's all right. I understand now. Of course, I'll be glad to escort Metaire.
Good work, Captain.
Everyone but Bridgewatch, stand down and get some rest. I want extra people on scan and communications. Power up and weapons on standby.
Mackenzie ships just arrived. 6. I think 2 troop carriers, 2 cruisers, a supply ship, and something small. Not sure what type. Weapons hot, slow insertion. They're broadcasting a call for Metaire.
What's your distance on them?
About 10 light seconds.
Give them a situation update while you relay their call to Baskerville so he can pass it to Metaire. The two of you can assist with their communications after that. Martin, ask Master Sergeant Pitt to come to the bridge, please. If the Mackenzie Relief Commander wants to talk to me, I'd like a Mackenzie representative standing by.
Captain Barra, they just fired on the ship approaching the Ansible. Detected discharge. If that ship does not change course, in 2 minutes it'll be a goner. That core ship tutter has increased a lot.
Either they suspect what's in the Ansible message, or they think Mackenzie and ISC will automatically hook up. Now they'll run. They won't want to face odds against.
Not until they've done some damage. They might blow the Ansible or attack any of the ships out there.
They've accelerated. We're sticking with them. Looks like they're going for the ISC ships, which aren't responding. Wait. Transmission from ISC. Doppler. I'll get it stretched and send it along. There. ISC got your message, Captain. That Blue Ridge were pirates, and they're asking about that. That must have triggered...
Kai waited. No one on the bridge said a word. They all looked at her. Something happened, and I doubt it was good.
They spotted him. If they switched to near scan as they came closer to the ISC ships, it's got better rear-facing capacity, even under acceleration.
Captain Varta, we've lost contact with Furious.
So have we. His transmission ended abruptly. We'll hope for the best.
I can't believe... Still, whatever. It's a death in battle, isn't it? Straight to the Heroes' Halls!
Kai felt a sudden urge to smack him, even though it was his friends who had just died. She said nothing. Ransom's face changed again.
He was a good fellow.
An oblique shot could have knocked out his communications without blowing the ship.
That's true. That's very true. I'd better take his place, hadn't I? You still need up-to-date information.
That's not necessary. I don't think...
And if he or the crew are still alive, then I can perform a rescue before...
Or you could end up dead just like them. From the sudden stillness around her, she realized that she'd shocked everyone. Look, we have 15 ships out there eager to kill us. 14.
13. The first ISC ship just blew. I don't know if it picked up its Ansible message or not. And the Mackenzie commander wants to speak to you. There'll be a 12-second delay between us. I'll record and then transmit.
Thank you. Kai glanced around. Master Sergeant Pitt was just inside the bridge. Kai beckoned, and Pitt came nearer. This Mackenzie commander was dark-skinned, thinner-faced than Colonel Kalin.
I'm Colonel Bandis. We received Colonel Kalin's message. We understand that your group assisted him when he was under attack. And I am now informed by him, as well as Captain Ransom, that you are able to communicate with your ships in real time, without detection by the enemy. We accept your assessment that the so-called Blue Ridge Defense Alliance is in fact a pirate group. The situation here looks grave. Those ISC ships are using obsolete munitions, and ship for ship are no match for the pirates. We have been able to contact their commander, and he asked our assistance. Together, we may be able to drive the pirates off. However, are you able and willing to give assistance beyond communications? Your scout ship did not have complete information on your remaining munitions.
We can't sustain a long fight. We're down to 47% of our missiles. Bassoons at 42, and Shara's Gift at 38.
If both ISC and Mackenzie are defeated, all we can do is run away. That still leaves Metaire.
They could jump out.
They shouldn't, except at the mapped jump point. The uncertainty could add days or weeks to their time to full medical facilities. And we'd have to go along. We all have Mackenzie personnel on board. If the others are destroyed, I see no chance that the pirates would let us all get to the jump point unmolested. All they'd have to do is sit there until we tried to sneak in. Sure, some of us might make it, but We need them gone.
That still doesn't change our munitions situation. And we could get out before the battle's over. So could Mater.
Mater leaving now is a good idea. She's the most critical. She needs to be on the way with her casualties. But Kalin will probably insist on talking to the other MAC ships about it. I'll talk to Kalin first. No, Ransom first. Captain Ransom, will you stay with the MAC and C ships to relay communications? I'm going to talk to Colonel Kalin on Mater via Courageous and try to convince him to leave the system now and get those wounded to a permanent facility. I'm sure he'll want to talk to his colleagues.
Of course.
Baskerville, on Courageous, put her in touch with Colonel Kalin at once, and Kai explained why she thought he should make for the jump point at once, taking his wounded home.
You make excellent points. I'll have to clear that with the relief convoy commander before I agree, however.
Courageous and Furious are both Ansible-equipped and can relay your communications in near real time. They're at your disposal for this.
I'm sure we're going to want this technology. Thank you again for your assistance. We'll let you know.
Latin was so right that we wanted more than one additional channel. I never thought we'd need so many, but it makes sense now. Kai checked with Pettigrew and Argelos on their munitions status.
Two more ISC ships blown. One of them from its own munitions, apparently.
11 ISC, 4 Mackenzie. That puts them just one up on the pirates.
Nowhere near equal. If those ISC ships are as underweighted as your source told you, which from their performance, I'm beginning to believe, they're big enough. Good targets.
Baskerville's face popped up in its window.
Colonel Kalin says he has permission to withdraw and requests my escort to the jump point. He says he has mapped the minefield and will make one jump to a few kilometers from it, then proceed to the jump.
Thank you. I recommend that you do as he asks, but take position on the far side of the minefield from him, where you have clearer scan range. He should be able to give you coordinates.
He has already. Back in a flash.
Baskerville's smile looked tense, but he was still smiling. Kai gave herself a mental shake as his image disappeared. Now she had to reply to the Mackenzie convoy commander, Colonel Bandus.
We're all low on munitions. I have the only ship with a beam weapon in the bow, and I have only a 27-degree arc. We cannot sustain a long fight, and if we're all involved in that and don't achieve a decisive victory, getting out of the system could be difficult. I'm thinking our best use is as Labby Enos, the unexpected reserve.
You know military history. I remember. You were in a military academy, weren't you? Yes, you could be very effective as a surprise reserve if we need it. I appreciate your willingness. Otherwise, we'd be abandoning this ourselves, as it looks entirely too close. I'm afraid ISC would blame us for losing their fleet, but we can't do what they haven't. My suggestion is that you come in from behind the jump point, even micro-jump just beyond it if you can, and broadcast a message to those following you. Not that there are any.
We can definitely do that. We'll move in so we can respond very quickly indeed. You could set it up with transmissions they'll intercept about the reinforcements you expect. Maybe that we went off to meet other units of yours and lead them here?
Grandmother Hegg's sucking. Do you have that expression?
Yes, Colonel, we do. My apologies.
Never mind. We're engaged now. Damn, they're good. Lucky for us, our shields are stronger than they thought.
Kai spoke to her other captains. If I knew where to send our transport to meet up with later, I would. But as it is, we'll leave her here, and the three of us will jump here. She gave them the coordinates. Weapons on standby. Don't bring them live until we jump into the fray. They emerged from that micro-jump only light minutes from the battle. Scan monitors filled almost instantly with the data pouring in. Their comm was stuffed with backed-up messages from ISC, the first few demanding that they surrender, then the preliminary conversations with the pirates' assumed identities, then with Mackenzie, a plea for help that included a plea to Kai if she was within hearing, communications between ISC and Mackenzie. All light lagged to the point that messages on both sides were obsolete before they could be received. ISC had lost another ship in those few seconds of transition from the outer system to the region of the jump point. The remaining 10 were in two groups of 5. The pirate ships had gone into the familiar X attack formation, 2 triads, one of them short its heavy component, on each arm. the fifth triad had positioned itself at a distance on a vector where the pirate shots would not endanger it. Kai had channels open to Argelos and Pettigrew so they could listen in. That's their commander.
Looks like.
Would your Colonel Bandis catch that?
I don't know, Captain. You've seen their attack patterns before. He hasn't. He might think it's a reserve force.
I don't think so. I wonder how close we could get our captured stealth vessel to it. Kai called Bandis. That outlying triad, I think that's their commander, and it might be the head of the whole mess, Gamus Turek.
You think we should go after him?
No. You've got enough going on where you are. From this distance, Scan could pick out the flare of shields, even the launch of missile flights. I'm going to try to sneak the stealth vessel we captured up to it and find out.
Good luck. Aha! Got one!
He transferred his own scan image to Kai. She saw that two ships in one triad had been knocked out. The third appeared to be damaged.
Their missile defense AI isn't as good as ours.
Kai called Yamini on the prize ship. Can you maintain stealth while microjumping?
Not as well as when holding still. We'll leave mass anomaly footprints.
I'm hoping they won't have time to analyze every little mass anomaly. Not with all the ordnance flying around. That outlying triad, I think that's their command group. If we can knock that out...
This thing doesn't have weapons to speak of.
I know, but you should be able to confirm if it's the command group or not by timing its transmissions to the behavior of the other triads. It'll have to say something. They just lost some ships. There will be adjustments. From there, you'll see what they see. And you may be able to spook them into leaving. When our group comes in, as if we're leading reinforcements, transmit on their own channels that you have located the command group, and here they are. Have your micro jump out programmed in, and hit it. I don't think they can react fast enough to hit you, if that's the first they know of you.
That's not bad.
Kai's scan did not pick up Yamini's movement to the outlying triad. She hoped their scan didn't. Another ISC ship blew. Mackenzie's superior shields and defensive suites kept them whole in the maelstrom that now covered hundreds of thousands of cubic kilometers. That wouldn't last forever. Even military ships had power limits, and enough impact could overload the best shields. As they watched, another pirate ship and two more ISC ships vanished in a scatter of debris.
Looks nasty in there. You aren't going to try to use your beam, are you?
Intermittent. My bow shield will be open only as long as the beam's on, and it'll erase anything in its path. I'm not dropping the shields to gain beam time. The rest of you keep your shields up full, and we'll try to stay on the edges. The edges looked almost as unhealthy as the dense interior of the fight. Her scan showed red zones in shades indicating the probability of a shield-ripping encounter, most of it at 100%. I don't care that Bandis hasn't called yet. That's too edgy. We go now. On my mark, this formation. They emerged into chaos. Proximity alarms pinging, shields flaring almost at once as debris impacted. Kai had the comm on general broadcast. Labienus, Labienus, follow on. Labienus, Labienus, all units, follow on. Target Blue Ridge beacons. She had one of her comm techs monitoring the channels the pirates used in the onboard Ansible.
If we survive, I'll say it's a great idea.
Kai micro-jumped nearer and decided to make another jump before reorienting the ship for the best angle for her forward beam. Another short jump and... That triad disappeared from scan as Lee brought the ship around to line up the beam. I should have taken the shot anyway. It was long, but it might have done something. He ran.
That was their commander, and he ran off and left them?
Micro-jumped to somewhere else. He's got an onboard Ansible. He can communicate just as well from anywhere except FTL space.
But one of the pirate triads, poised for another attack, now fired a salvo at Kai's group. From far too great a range to be effective, and also disappeared from scan. They're pulling out or they're regrouping? The remaining two triads completed their next attack run, but then kept going, boosting to higher and higher velocities.
Can't catch those. Not even with the Ranger ships. And they won't get back into position for attack for a long time, the way they're going. If that's not a prep for jumping out of the system, I don't know what is.
We're not out of trouble yet. On scan, yet another ISC ship blew. From what cause, she couldn't tell in that mess of danger signals. Then a Mackenzie ship, the smallest, disappeared from scan. Kai called Ransom. For once, he didn't look eager and happy. His face was pale and streaked with sweat.
We're in between two bigger ships. Their shields are helping, but I never saw anything like this.
The pirates are gone, at least for now. I think we spooked their commander enough that he got out. And now the thing to do is get you and everyone else out of that kill zone. Do you still have contact with Colonel Bandis?
Yes, I'll tell him.
The relay continued to work, somewhat to Kai's surprise.
You say they're all gone? Our scan's so overloaded, we're having trouble picking out ship beacons.
If you can micro-jump out a few light hours, we can regroup. Can you contact the ISC commander?
Not easily. It's one of the things... their damn protocols and the light lag. Yeah, but I'll try.
In the end, only 6 of the ISC ships made it out, and 2 of those had serious damage. The incoming Mackenzie convoy had lost its scout ship and had damage to both troop carriers and the supply ship, with a number of non-fatal casualties. 5 pirate ships had been completely destroyed. Baskerville and Courageous located another limping along under stuttering in-system power, shields down, and the missile pods on one side half melted off. Not worth salvage or the risk to personnel if they tried to capture her.
We can take care of it, or if you want, you can have the honor.
Did you ask the ISC commander?
I'm not sure any of the ISC ships could take it.
Go ahead, then. You've earned the right.
It's shooting fish in a barrel.
Nasty fish. Poison fish. If it bothers you...
Me? Not at all. I was gloating, actually.
Argelosa's first salvo breached the hull, and moments later, Kai's and Pettigrew's met in the center of mass and flew it apart. The scan for that area filled with multiple tiny returns.
Mapping the system's gonna be a mess for a while. We'll have to warn someone. I don't even know who. To mark this system off limits for a while.
Kai said nothing. Pitt glanced at her.
What is it, Captain?
Just acknowledging their humanity. Bad though they were once people. Tiny babies, maybe even children someone loved. People who might have been something other than scum of the universe if things had been different. I'm quite willing to blow them away, but not to pretend it meant nothing.
I understand that, Captain. Doesn't surprise me.
When they got back to the others, close enough to communicate nearly in real time, Kai found that the ISC commander was particularly angry with her.
It's all your fault. I lost ships, crews, all because you had to fiddle around with an Ansible you had no right to approach, let alone touch. And as for that thing you're using to communicate, it's illegal. You're going to be arrested and tried.
I don't think so. Have you picked up your messages from the system Ansible yet?
What business is that of yours?
One of them concerns me, and it comes from a high source in your company. I suggest you retrieve it now.
You can't give me orders.
I didn't give you an order. I made a suggestion. If you want to ignore it and risk the consequences...
What consequences?
What would have happened if my ships and Mackenzie had jumped out and left you to the pirates?
That silenced him for a moment. His jaw worked.
All right. I'll look. But I assure you that I am thoroughly familiar with ISC rules and regulations, and with a uniform commercial code as it applies to ISC installations.
I'm sure you are.
Kai looked at the scan of the system.
As it will be hours before you can retrieve your messages, we're going to set up a defensive perimeter just in case. There will be no call on your resources during that time.
When she glanced at the Ansible screen, Colonel Bandis's image looked as if he might burst out laughing. She turned to that console.
I'm impressed, Captain Vada. And you certainly picked the right moment to come in. I had just opened my mouth to ask you when you appeared on scan close in. And going after the commander alone, that was overly risky, don't you think?
Kai explained what she had told Yamini to do.
I hoped it would panic them, either enough to let me get a good shot at them, which I almost did, or make them move, or even leave. They'd lost a third of their ships.
Our doctrine said most forces wouldn't stay cohesive with quick losses that high.
That's what our research shows, too. And I have recordings of ISC transmissions that show they were falling apart after they lost the third ship, but couldn't figure out where to go. Their fire was never that effective. But some of them quit even trying to attack the pirates. If they'd had a coordinated fire pattern... But that's post-battle analysis.
They're really annoyed with me. I hope they'll be less so when they get the message that's waiting for them.
You know what's in it?
In substance, yes. In words, no.
You're a very interesting person, Captain Broder.
Kai could think of nothing to say to that. At the time he'd calculated the ISC fleet should arrive in the system where Kai was, Rafe found he could not sit still. He left Amel to forward messages and went down to control, where the feed from Ansible Boxtop Zip Figaro 112 was already shunted to a station set up for him. If only this had been a system Ansible, with its array of sensors to monitor activity in its area, he could have seen for himself what was going on. But this Ansible, intended only to relay messages from other Ansibles, lacked such enhancements. The only thing he could tell about it was that it was online. Control had a record of the message he had sent earlier. Rafe could not resist adding another. Do not attack Vata ships. Do not attack Space Defense Force under any circumstances. Dunbarger, Chairman.
How long will it take them to retrieve their message? Did Kai at least move away from the jump point so they'll have time to retrieve the message before they shoot at her? She isn't stupid, but she is just as stubborn as I am.
Are you worried about our fleet, sir? I'm sure they'll be fine. We've never had any problem with privateers and such once they recognize the ISC ship beacons.
It would not help his authority to tell her there was always a first time.
No, or not the way you think. It's a complicated situation out there.
Is it, sir? We haven't had any alarms from the Ansible.
Rafe glanced up. She stood just to one side and behind him, and seemed to have nothing to do but watch over him. Perhaps that was it. Even the chairman couldn't be left alone with control equipment. After all, he wasn't supposed to know how to operate it.
We won't have, from this Ansible. Relays can't do anything but tell us if they're tampered with. If it had the sensor capability of a full-service Ansible, we could see exactly what's going on.
But they might tamper with it again.
Who?
The people who tampered before.
They wouldn't. All they did was fix it when it wasn't working. That means they wanted it to work, so why would they turn it off?
From her puzzled expression, she wasn't used to thinking that way.
If anyone does tamper with it, it'll be someone else.
The pirates Kai had worried might come back, for instance. If they did, the ISC fleet, his fleet, would be in trouble. Statistics on that sector fleet were no better than the average. Old ships, outdated equipment, inadequate training schedule. Amel pinged him.
Your guards want to know what to do with Cuthin? He's told them he's going to sue.
He can't do that if he can't call out. But you may notify his family that he's been unavoidably detained. I'll speak to the guards myself.
Rafe called down to the cells.
This is Rafe. I understand our friend is threatening.
Yeah. Says he's going to have us all thrown in jail for unlawful imprisonment. Demands we let him out of this shielded room so we can use his skull phone.
Tell him that his family has been informed that he's been unavoidably detained, but that he's perfectly safe. Tell him that his safety still depends on the outcome of events now taking place, and I will let him know whether he's got a future life when I know what that outcome is.
He says he needs rest.
So do we all. He can rest when I'm satisfied. Are you, getting anything good out of him?
Oh, that pocket comm you thought he had was full of data. I squirted it up to your office. Amel has it for you. Or I can squirt it to you now.
No, that's all right.
Rafe stared at the screen in front of him, which remained obstinately blank. Time was passing. Things were happening. Things he could imagine vividly in 60 different varieties of disaster. And he was stuck here, out of contact. He wanted to use his internal Ansible. He wanted Kai to use hers. But if she was in the middle of a fight, he couldn't afford to distract her. Someone offered him a mug of something hot. He sipped it without noticing a flavor. His eyes itched and burned with staring at the console so long. To distract himself, finally, he let himself think about his own family. His mother, his father, Penelope. His father's behavior could be explained by the damage to his implant and to his brain, and the years of insidious conditioning by Lou Parmina. As predicted, his mental status had deteriorated after removal of the damaged implant, and neural regeneration was proceeding very slowly, in part due to his age, and partly because the damage was extensive.
His attitude toward Vatas had hardened from suspicion to outright paranoia. But his doctor said many brain-injured patients became suspicious and somewhat irrational until they recovered. If they recovered. Brain injury, as extensive as his father's, often produced permanent changes in personality, one of the neurologists had said. His mother, arbiter of family standards, she had seemed to come back rapidly after the rescue, but now, to his eye, she was looking more and more brittle. She scarcely ate, that he could see, and her energy seemed more frenetic than natural. She called him daily at the office. She hovered over his father, over him, over Penelope. Penelope. He could not imagine what it was like to lose a husband and a newborn by violence in such a short time. But he had no idea what she had been like before, as a grown woman. His clearest memories were of that night, when she had been so frightened and he had been so mean. He wondered why he had slapped her. He wouldn't have done that when they were playing together, no matter how annoying she was. He had known better. It was something good children did not do. He had a vague memory of watching a video of some kind, at home, at a friend's house maybe, in which a man slapped a hysterical woman and she stopped crying. Maybe that was why. Or maybe it was his dark side, as the therapist had said. Even knowing the therapist had been incompetent didn't erase that doubt. The screen lit suddenly. His attention snapped back to it.
ISC scout ship Barrowman. Message received. No Vada ship located. Blue Ridge Defense...
Did you touch anything, sir?
No.
Rafe watched the technician manipulate controls.
Ansible's still up, but there's no contact. Their equipment must have malfunctioned.
They were blown.
Blown, sir?
Attacked. Blown up. Pirates. The Mackenzie ship in system wouldn't have fired on ISC. Neither would Vada. Whatever this Blue Ridge Defense Whatsis wants people to think, it's our enemy. Most likely it's the same pirate force that overthrew Bissonnette system and others.
But how can you tell that just because the message was cut off? Equipment fails for all sorts of reasons.
When you know you have the potential for hostilities, the safer bet is enemy action.
Rafe called Emil.
We have trouble, almost certainly hostile action against ISC. Get me a conference call with all the sector commanders in enforcement. Then I'll want to contact Mackenzie. Locate their headquarters system, and if their system Ansible isn't working, dispatch a repair crew immediately, fastest route. And get me a list of the most reliable mercenary companies in our files. And, let's see, get hold of our own system defense and tell them I want a meeting with whoever's at the top.
What's happened, sir?
I don't yet know for sure, but it's bad, and we don't have what it takes to handle it by ourselves.
What about Cuffin?
His life hangs by a thread. I'll get back to you.
By the time Emil had located the sector commanders and set up the conference call, more data had come in. The Mackenzie ship in system, Kai, and the Mackenzie relief convoy commander had all squirted data to the Ansible, tagged for ISC headquarters, but the varying light lags meant that data came in out of order in chaotic lumps. Rafe did not wait for computer analysis to sort things into chronological order. He didn't need to. He addressed the sector commanders using another of Control's modules. Two techs now hovered over the console, aligning the images for his convenience.
We have a serious situation. An ISC sector fleet has been nearly destroyed, and the only reason it wasn't was the presence in system of other ships that assisted our fleet.
Are you sure?
The data will be squirted to you in code as soon as analysis puts things in order. We've lost at least five ships.
Sorry, sir, new data. It's now six... No, seven...
Seven ships. I expect that number to rise as more data come in. Our ships were hit by something calling itself the Blue Ridge Defense Alliance, but the ships have false IDs. By a lucky chance, the captain of one of the friendly ships recognized a serial number as belonging to a ship from Bissonnette system, which, as you know, I hope you know, fell to a pirate coalition.
How many of these enemy ships? Any data on their weaponry?
15, and the technical data will be in the same squirt.
Rafe paused. None of them spoke.
Now, in my short time as acting CEO, I have found that your maintenance, upgrade, and training budgets have been cut. And as a result, our ships are markedly less able than those of other organizations, including this enemy. Some of you, I have no doubt, were colluding with Chief of Enforcement Cuthin to divert funds. I don't care at this point. It's too late to worry about that. What I do care about is that you and your people aren't thrown in the meat grinder to no purpose.
Another pause, longer this time. One of them, his implant informed him it was Beyond Tarleton, opened his mouth and then shut it again.
Go ahead, Tarleton.
Sir, there's no way you can upgrade 80% of my ships at this point. They're approaching the end of their structural reliability. They'd have to be completely rebuilt.
I know that. I also know that you have obsolete weaponry and some of you have dangerously old munitions. And your people haven't done live fire training for an average of 6 years.
Now, the resentment he saw on all the faces was replaced by dawning respect on some.
How'd you know that?
I do my homework. Here's the situation as I see it. All of you have what are essentially paper fleets. They look good on paper. They even look impressive in formation. As long as we had people convinced we were invulnerable, it didn't matter. But there's no way we can hide what happened. The enemy knows we're a soft target, and now we're a soft, rich target.
I told headquarters years ago.
Years ago isn't our problem. Placing blame won't get us out of this, though it certainly comes in later. So what I need from you right now is this. Bring your fleets to what readiness you can and start training your people for combat now. Review the data you'll be getting and revise your plans accordingly. By tomorrow, I want a list from each of you of the most critical needs. We can't meet all of them, but we might meet some. Pick your best ships, however few that is, and get busy improving them. By tomorrow, I want your assessment of the battle that cost us those ships. I want your plan for training that will address the weaknesses that made things worse.
By tomorrow?
Or if you can't do it, I'll find someone who can. If any of you feels unequal to command, I presume you have someone down the chain of command to whom you can hand over this onerous duty.
What about our regular duties?
Your top priority now is getting your command in as good shape as you can. Next is informing all legitimate governments that any entity calling itself Blue Ridge Defense Alliance is actually a swarm of pirates. Do not waste any time on routine enforcement. If systems want to repair their own ansibles, all the better. We get income from message traffic, and the more complete the communications net, the harder it will be for the pirates to evade detection.
Heads were nodding now, all but two.
If anyone has comments, make them now, and then get busy. My assistant will set up another conference call tomorrow.
The tech who had spoken before looked very pale. Glancing around the room, he saw that everyone was tense. And so they should be. But panic wouldn't help either.
Another ship gone, sir.
We've lost ships. We've lost people. Some of them may be your friends or relatives or just people you contacted regularly. It's a blow, no doubt about it, but it's not the end of ISC. I told our sector commanders to prepare for more trouble. But I'm hoping that we will find allies to help all civilized, legitimate governments and organizations survive and defeat these pirates.
But could they attack here?
They might, but I'm not going to let that happen. I'm going to meet with our government, warn them of the danger, and assure them that ISC will support system defense to the fullest extent possible. Some of you, I know, are aware of my decision that we will not prosecute or interfere with systems repairing their own ansibles. We need as much communication as we can get. These pirates use the lack of ansible access to hide, organize, and attack.
They looked at them. Too many scared faces. Too many people looking for a way out. He smiled at them.
We will get through this. ISC has survived challenges before, and we'll do it this time. You are all intelligent, skilled people. You can help us pull through. There will be changes, yes. We have to meet this challenge, not just sit and let it happen to us. But you're the kind of people who can do that.
Better now. They were listening. They were not as tense, not as frightened.
The ships that hit our fleet did not escape unscathed. And they are far away. Even if they headed directly here, which they won't, they're not going to hit Nexus today or tomorrow. It's not physically possible. We are going on emergency schedules. I want doubled watches posted here so that every change in Ansible function, every bit of data we can gather, will be noticed as soon as possible. If someone is able to locate and identify the pirate fleet, well, that would be an enormous help.
Who was it that helped us?
Mackenzie Military Assistance Corporation. I'll be contacting their chief to thank them and ask for some more help. And the new group, Space Defense Force.
Weren't they the ones who...
Fixed that Ansible? Yes. Neither of those two had many ships in the system, but they did assist our fleet and finally drove off the attackers. From what I gather, Space Defense Force figured out where the pirate's commander was and attacked that ship directly. They weren't able to destroy it, but they did chase it out of the system, and the surviving pirate ships followed.
So they're not really against us?
Not at all. Now, I need to go back up to my office and contact the government in Mackenzie. I trust you'll all keep at your stations here and let me know if there's anything new.
Rafe waved to them and headed back upstairs. He was tempted to stop off at the enforcement safe rooms, but Kai was alive, and he had no excuse for roughing up Cuffin himself. More urgent matters awaited. He needed to get Ansibles on board all ISC ships, for one thing, not those pitiful booster units.
You've got a call from home. Your mother sounds upset. She wants to know when you'll come home.
Outside, the day had already darkened into night again. A clear night. The glowing cloud of the Arctan Nebula hung over the city. He shouldn't go home. He had too much to do. Those calls to the government, to Mackenzie. He could make them from home, but then his parents would want to know what was going on.
What about the government?
The office was closed by the time I got your message, sir. I didn't know how urgent it was.
Urgent, but probably not worth interrupting the secretary at dinner.
And he himself was tired. He could feel it in his shoulders, in his eyes. He had last slept before the blizzard began.
What about Mackenzie?
I've contacted their local office. The Ansible in their system is still down. I've directed the nearest ISC repair team to go there. It'll be several days.
Good work.
Rafe noticed that Amel, too, had dark circles under his eyes.
Take a shift off, at least, Amel. Get a proper meal, somewhere off the premises, and a good night's sleep.
Are you sure that's all right?
You have a skull phone. I can always wake you if I need you. I'll go home tonight. Call the car. We can drop you somewhere if you like.
On the drive across the city, Rafe tried to sort out how to tell his father what was going on. He shouldn't. The doctors had said to limit business talk. But every time he came in the door, his father had 100 mumbled, semi-coherent questions, along with a stream of advice. He felt smothered, trapped in his father's expectations. His father's... He hated to say it, even to himself. His father's limitations.
How could my father not have seen what Lou Parmina was? How could he have let ISC's fleet slide into obsolescence?
He'd always thought of his father as completely competent, all-knowing. Even when he was angriest with the man, he'd felt pride in being Garston Dunbarger's son. Now, he felt pity for his father, for what had happened to him, for his struggles in rehab. But his admiration had dimmed as he dug into ISC and found so many things so badly awry. What he should do was move out, separate himself from the family. At the thought of having his own place, a place without the associations of so much misery, he felt better immediately. If he lived closer to headquarters, even in headquarters, the guest suite could be rearranged for him, he would lose less time traveling back and forth. Weather conditions would matter less. By the time the car turned into the drive, he had decided that moving out was the best possible solution to the whole family entanglement. The house loomed ahead, the familiar pattern of its facade, the windows, the portico. He wondered suddenly how it seemed to his family. Twice this house had been invaded, once successfully. Yet he could not imagine his parents living anywhere else. He paused outside the door of the house, scraping his feet carefully. This was not going to be easy. He put his hand to the reader and the lock opened. He wished he'd been able to persuade his parents that they needed to have someone in the house to answer the door, but he hadn't. At least they hadn't balked when he upgraded the house security system and hired more external guards to patrol the grounds. His mother came from the music room.
Rafe, I thought you were never coming home.
The snow finally stopped.
You could work from home. Your father did sometimes.
Rafe unwrapped his scarf and slipped out of his coat.
He knew everyone, and everyone knew him. I need to be visible, on the job. Parmina had a lot of people confused, and his departure has left holes in various departments.
Rafe glanced at the door to the library, where his sister Penelope stood,
wrapped in a big shawl, her shoulders hunched.
Hello, Penny. How are you?
Don't ask.
His mother put her hand to her mouth. His sister came forward with a quick, angry glance at their mother.
I lost my husband. I lost my baby. How do you think I'm doing?
Her gaze swept the entrance hall and, in this house, carried to him without words. In this house, where she'd been the night they were abducted, the night her husband died. Where she'd been the night Rafe had saved her and terrified her, and the night he had not saved her, and the terror went on too long. She needed to go somewhere else, too, but he wasn't sure she would, or could.
What's for dinner?
It was a retreat from that dilemma. His sister's face twisted a moment into a knowing look that recognized that.
A well-balanced meal designed by a medical nutritionist.
Dear.
Well, it is. Doesn't matter what it is, that's what it tastes like. The right amount of protein, carbohydrates, complex and simple. The right amount of fiber and vitamins and minerals. They sent a cook with a list. What father should have, how much, and so on.
It's not that bad. Quite good, really.
I've been told it tastes that way to me because I'm depressed.
Rafe eyed his sister. She looked far worse than she had when they first came back.
It's probably too early, but I was going to ask if you could possibly do a little work for me.
Work? What kind?
Rafe, she can't possibly. How can you ask?
Mother, please. I have nothing to do all day around here except what I do. Mope. Cry. Go to therapy. Mope and cry some more. Have nightmares.
Look, Penny, I'm sorry. I don't remember what it is you studied, if I ever knew, but you are family, and I know I can trust you. There's a ton of data to go through, trying to untangle Parmina's relationships in the company. I need someone to help me with that. Even a couple of hours a day would help.
Do you think I could?
Rafe, you can't be serious. After all she's been through, she doesn't need...
Mother! I need to get out of this house.
Penelope turned to Rafe.
If I just have something to do, something useful, I may not do it well.
Be ready to leave when I do in the morning. I'll take you in with me. We'll see how it goes.
Clearly, Penelope couldn't be expected to leave tonight, as he had planned to, nor should she make her own way to ISC headquarters. He would have to spend at least another night here and tell his parents in the morning that he was moving out. Dinner was not as bad as his sister had said, but nothing like the meals he remembered. His father, propped in a float chair, seemed barely able to feed himself. A medical attendant sat beside him, murmuring suggestions. His father's left eyelid drooped almost shut, and his mouth sagged. Rafe felt his stomach tightening. They were all worse than they had been even 3 days ago, before the storm.
Is something wrong with their medical care? Did Parmina somehow arrange to mess with that?
Rafe ate steadily, silently, glancing now and then at his mother. She ate little that he could see, perched like a bird about to take flight on the edge of her chair. His sister ate even less, one or two bites of each offering, that was all. His father tried to speak, his one good eye fixed on Rafe. Supposedly, the left side of his brain hadn't been damaged. Rafe wondered why his speech was so impaired. Like everything else, it had worsened over the past weeks. Rafe struggled to hide his worry and concentrated on the sounds, trying to parse meaning from them.
Everything's going well. We've found a few more Parmina's cronies, and we've taken care of them.
No business worries?
Sorry. I'm glad to see you up and around, Father. That was quite a snowstorm. When the weather is bad, I may spend nights at the office. Please don't be concerned if I don't come home. In fact, I was thinking of getting a place near the office or even bunking in that guest apartment.
His father's hand twitched, sending a spoonful of the steamed greens flying onto the carpet. The attendant bent to wipe it up.
I want to do a good job. I want to take care of the company, as you asked me.
No one else might have understood that, but Rafe knew that You do not deal with Vata, was what his father wanted to say.
You'll be better soon. If you rest, if you do what they tell you, I know you'll be all right, and I'll take care of things for you in the meantime.
He finished his own meal, all he could eat, and looked at his mother.
Mother, I need to take a long, hot bath, if you don't mind.
Of course not. Are you coming down later?
Not if I fall asleep in the tub. Don't wait for me, I beg you.
When Rafe emerged from the bathroom, rubbing his hair dry, his sister was waiting in the hall, shoulder propped into the corner between a case of antique porcelain belt ornaments and the wall.
Were you serious about giving me a job?
Yes.
I hate this house. I've hated it since... And then what happened made it worse. I can't sleep here. I keep seeing what happened. Jared's face, when they shot him, and then it comes back, that night when you saved me. It's always cold. I'm always cold. I tried to tell Mother I wanted to move out, find someplace. She thinks I'm better here, or I should go back to our... to Jared's in my house. And I just can't. And you're getting out, aren't you? I can tell. You don't want to live in that little boy's room. You're not that boy anymore. You'll get your own place, or stay at the office, and I'll be here with... all this.
She waved again at the surroundings.
It... would be easier to do my job if I lived closer.
Penny gave him a long look.
Would Father be happy if he knew exactly what you were doing?
What kind of question is that? Why would you think not?
Because you're you. You're not like him. You have that other... flavor. What are you doing, Rafe?
Come and see.
Her eyes shifted now from his face to the hall, to the pictures on the walls, the carpet on the floor.
Is it all going away? Is something wrong with ISC?
You are in deep grief. You're seeing all the darkness there is, and that's perfectly normal.
But there is something wrong, isn't there? I can feel it.
This was not a conversation Rafe wanted to have here in the hall, where anyone might hear. Yes, his father was supposed to be having a final series of exercises before bed, but houses had been bugged before.
You're upset. Tomorrow will be different. Tomorrow you won't spend all day here. And if you can show me that you have a definite plan in mind, I'll help you move away if that's what you need.
Penny stared at him now. Rafe wondered if she was as irrational as she looked. He didn't know. He had no idea how to interpret her expressions, her quickly changing moods.
But I'm not like I was. I never will be.
Doesn't matter. Yes, you'll need to stay in therapy. You've had terrible things happen, and everyone needs help after something like that. But I'm here, and I'll help you.
She looked as if she might cry again. Rafe was too tired to deal with that.
Good night, Tinka Bear.
For a moment, her face lit up. It had been her nickname as a toddler. In the morning, she was dressed and ready by the front door, holding a small suitcase when he came down. He didn't comment. He, too, was carrying a suitcase, packed with two of his new suits and other necessities. The house was silent. His parents, he hoped, were still asleep. Rafe tapped out the security code. The car outside answered. He opened the door for her, nodding as she went past.
We're on our way.
On the ride into the city, she settled herself warily into the wide back seat. Her face was pale, and her fingers tightened on her case every time they went around a corner.
I'm not going back.
No one can make you. Certainly not me.
No one can. You just said that.
So I did. Now, what time is your usual therapy appointment, and do you go, or does someone come?
The doctor comes. At 11.
We'll call. To be sure the doctor comes here, unless you'd rather go to someone's office. And, by the way, do you like this therapist?
It doesn't matter.
Of course it does. You'll get better faster with someone you like and trust.
Not really. He's all fatherly and comforting. But I can tell he thinks I'm just a spoiled girl who will always be too weak.
Whether the therapist really thought that or not was not as important as his sister's belief. Rafe felt the family bond tightening around his shoulders, a noose that would hold him here longer, keep him from Kai. And yet, this was Tinkerbear, Pretty Penny, Pennyluck. All the silly childhood pet names came back to him. This was the little sister he'd smacked one time, and much good it had done her. She was his only remaining sister, all he had, really. He could not abandon her just because she was so unlike Kai.
I'm sure that's not the only good therapist in the city. But first, let's be sure Mother doesn't panic when she finds you gone and the therapist is coming. Then we'll find you a place to stay. Do you want an apartment or would you feel safer here?
I won't feel safe anywhere. But I'd like to be near you for a while.
He was not going to have her in his apartment, which meant they should both stay at headquarters for the time being.
Did you visit Father at work much?
No. Not at all since I married, and not much before that.
Well then, welcome to the executive life.
One of his bodyguards preceded them up the steps and through the door. Rafe led her to the security desk and spoke to the middle-aged woman there.
Hi, Sylvie. This is my sister Penelope. You will have her biometrics on file. We'll need an all-shift pass for her. She's going to be helping me out for a while.
Of course, sir.
Sylvie glanced up at Penelope.
If you would please put your hand in here and look into the hood. We need a current image for the tag.
In less than a minute, the machine spat out a laminated tag. Sylvie punched a hole in it, attached the clip and a lanyard, and handed it over.
There you are.
Penelope clipped the tag to her jacket. Rafe waited as his bodyguard checked the lift and his fellow upstairs, then nodded. Rafe ushered Penelope into the lift with a low bow.
Stop it. You're being silly. People will look.
You used to like it when I played prince to your princess. Don't you remember the time you made me wear Linnet's dance tights and that coronet?
I had forgotten that! Oh, it must have been a scene out of one of the videos. And you kept wrapping Mother's evening cape around you when it was supposed to trail out behind.
There are reasons why I needed that cape. Those blasted tights were too big.
The elevator coasted to a stop. Penelope stepped forward, but Rafe blocked her.
What?
He caught the nod from his guard and stepped back.
After you, Princess.
You aren't going to call me Princess.
Only when you deserve it. Now let's find you a desk.
Are you serious? You're really going to put me to work?
Sitting around here doing nothing won't help you any more than sitting around home. The house. Emil, this is my sister Penelope. Find her a place to work, will you? On this floor, close to me. She's going to be helping me with some research. In the meantime, Penelope, come into my parlor.
She gave him a weak, wavering smile. By the time Rafe had rescheduled Penelope's appointment with the therapist, Emil had found her a quiet place to work, shifting an assistant one door farther away. Rafe cocked his head at Penelope.
Do you want me to call Mother, or...
Please. And tell her...
Rafe felt helpless. Any of the usual comforting phrases would be an insult.
I'll tell her that you and I are both staying here for the time being. I think we can find a therapist who agrees that's best for you, if yours doesn't.
She stood up, swiping at her eyes.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I want to find a room.
Amy will show you. If you need a restroom or something to drink or anything...
When she had left his office, Rafe called home. His mother answered.
Rafe, where's Penny? Did she go with you? Is she all right?
Yes, she's fine. She's here with me. Her therapist is coming here today. We're going to stay here for a few days at least. She needs to get away for a while.
Away? But this is her home. She's safe here.
She was abducted from that house. She doesn't feel safe.
I couldn't stop them. My little Penny.
She'll be fine here, Mother. I'll take care of her. There's a lovely apartment. Now, I'm sorry, I must go.
Amol had set up a call with System Defense, whose civilian chief, Humphrey Isaacs, had known his father well.
I was sorry to hear about his condition. But he is expected to recover fully, isn't he? And return to work?
We certainly hope so. But the damage was severe. The doctors can't tell us how long it will be, or whether any of the problems will remain. In the meantime, I have data vital to our system security.
Isaac said nothing, and Rafe gave him a brief summary of the situation.
ISC's fleet isn't more than a match for them?
No. It will take the combined forces of several systems to eradicate this threat. They've already overwhelmed several systems. Most of them weak and underpopulated, but one at least, Bissonnette, mounted what we all thought was a sizable and effective space defense. Now they have Bissonnette's ships as well as their own.
Well, this is not what I wanted to start my work day with. You know, or at least your father knew, what our system defenses are. We depended heavily on ISC to round out our numbers.
Rafe knew more about Nexus's defense establishment than his father, but it would not be prudent to say so. Officially, here on Nexus, he had never had an identity who was supposed to know anything like that.
I will forward you the data gathered from the recent engagement. It is clear that the enemy have a variety of advanced technologies that give them an edge, ship for ship. We at ISC will be upgrading our fleet as quickly as possible. I would suggest you do the same.
You don't think they'd attack Nexus, do you? We're one of the biggest, most powerful systems.
We're the richest target around. And now that they've found ISC vulnerable, I expect they'll try to amass enough force to do just that. That may have been their aim all along. To capture Nexus, and you have a central location already equipped as a communication center for all, or most, human-occupied space. Every system they capture gives them more resources, more ships, more weapons, more wealth. And every capture hurts the legitimate governments and organizations, economically as well as militarily, with a decline of trade. Even if the population resists, there will always be someone who sees personal profit in joining up.
That's a frightening prospect.
Yes. I believe it's going to require immediate consultation and cooperation with other systems to prevent serious consequences, not just for us, but for all civilized and peaceful systems.
Can't ISC release some of its experimental technology to give us back that edge?
I haven't had time yet to look into our research program and see what would be suitable. I do know there's a technology newly patented over in the Moscow Confederation that would be of immense benefit. When I'm through talking to you, I'll be talking to that patent holder to find out how fast it can be produced.
Get a license to make it here.
I tried. The patent holder has a pre-existing deal with the Moscow government for local manufacture, but I'm hoping we can reserve the first production run.
What is it?
I'd rather not say until I've locked in an order. But if you can come by my office tomorrow...
I'll be there.
Good. Talk to you then.
Rafe took a few minutes to check on Penelope. She was ensconced behind a desk, staring into a screen.
How's it going?
I'm not sure what you want me to look for, Rafe. Amol gave me a stack of financial records. Am I looking for embezzlement, or what?
We have several problems, Penny, and I don't know which you'd be best suited to detect. Embezzlement is one of them. I started by looking for Parmina's accomplices at the higher levels, the easiest way first, comparing their lifestyles with their known legal income. I figured he had to be paying them, or they had to be stealing from the company. Found one that way. But there are other problems with the company right now, and they're not necessarily the result of illegal actions. What I'd like you to do is analyze the relative amounts we've spent in the main divisions over the past 30 years. I think research and enforcement may have been consistently underfunded, but I don't know where the cream has gone.
You want me to concentrate only on the main divisions?
Not if you find something that looks strange. Follow your nose. I need a better idea of where the money went, in all ways. And I need to know if it's fraud or stupidity or just inertia.
Is ISC really in trouble? And is it Father's fault?
It's in trouble. That much is certain. It's what I told the board. There's new technology loose that has broken our monopoly, though not everyone realizes it yet. We could have had that technology and marketed it ourselves. Instead, we didn't even patent it, and now someone else has the rights to it and has improved it. We're so far behind the curve, it's as if we weren't on the same track. about Father, I don't know. One of the things I need to find out is if he made bad decisions, or if he didn't get the right data to make good decisions, or if his orders weren't followed.
So this is one giant fishing expedition.
Yep, and a lot of work. Work that needs to be done by someone I can trust. Right now, there's no one in our financial divisions I can be sure of.
I see. Well, I'll do my best.
I'm sure you will. I've got to get back to the other stuff. We can talk about that later.
What did Mother say?
What you'd expect. Don't worry about it. You're here and she's there. Later on, when I take a break, I'll take you over to the apartment and let you get your things settled. Or I can have someone take them now.
No. I'd rather do it myself. If you're busy, where can I get something for lunch?
Ask Emil. He can order something up, or you can eat in the executive dining room. If you do that, one of my bodyguards will go with you.
It is better here. I'm not saying that.
Good. Get yourself back to work then. Your therapist will be here in about 2 hours. I'll want to talk to him as well.
As he went back to his office, Rafe was aware that one problem was, if not solved, maybe moving towards solution. At least Penny wasn't crying, and she looked more alive than she had at home. He looked up the temporal conversions. It was evening on Cascadia Station. Stella might be having dinner with someone. She would not want to be interrupted. But he had to talk to her. He placed the call.
It's Rafe.
I didn't think anyone else from Nexus would be calling. We will announce the successful licensee tomorrow at noon, as previously stated.
That's not what I called about. Are you in a secure location?
What? Is Kai all right?
As far as I know, yes. But what I have to say concerns her.
I believe this facility is secure, yes. Go on.
The pirates ran into an ISC fleet. Kai was there. Actually, Kai was the reason the ISC fleet was there. Not by my orders, by the way. Against them. But anyway, the pirates chewed up our fleet with ridiculous ease.
And Kai got away?
Kai and a small number of Mackenzie ships managed to drive the pirates away.
That idiot! She should have run for it!
That's what I told her. When I was told an ISC fleet was headed her way, I...
Stella didn't know about their shared cranial implant. He had to cover that.
Kai's people had repaired a system ansible, a relay. That's what alerted our enforcement division. They sent the fleet, standard procedure, to capture whoever had done the repair. When I found out it was too late to stop the fleet, I contacted her and warned her. It's complicated. She'd already been in one battle helping some mercenary ships fight off a pirate attack. She wouldn't leave the system because the remaining mercenary ship wouldn't leave. She said a Merc relief convoy was on the way to bring supplies and change out trainees, but if the pirates returned in the meantime, the one ship would be helpless.
So she didn't listen to you. That sounds like Kai.
A very stubborn woman. I think it runs in the family.
You may think that. I prefer to call it perseverance.
Apparently, everyone showed up in the system within a few hours. The ISC fleet, the Merc convoy, and the pirates, who were calling themselves the Blue Ridge Defense Alliance, and using, according to an after-battle report I got from Kai, captured Bissonnette military vessels.
That's not good.
No. But the real reason I'm calling you now is to ask if it's possible to pre-order onboard Ansibles in quantity. I know you haven't awarded any contracts, but how fast do you think you could scale up production if you had the cash in hand?
ISC wants them?
Everyone's going to want them. But yes, ISC and also Nexus Defense. I'm sure Moscow's defense will also want some, but I see Nexus as a prime target. It's clear from the post-battle data that ships without them are nearly helpless against ships that have them.
Until we have a test run, I don't know what the real production rate will be. If there's enough demand, we could expand to another factory, I suppose.
I spoke to someone high in our system defense this morning. I believe by tomorrow I can get you a firm commitment. And I'm going to be in contact with a respectable mercenary company as soon as we can get their Ansible up and running.
Mackenzie?
Well, yes. They were involved in the incident with Kai, and their commander on the scene says they'll definitely want some.
Rafe, this is going to shred ISC's monopoly.
I know that. I've already informed our board. We've got to find another way to survive, but letting the pirates take over isn't it.
What does your father say?
He's still not capable.
So it's up to you?
Yeah. That's a joke, isn't it? The exile returns and is supposed to take over and perform a rescue.
You will. How's the rest of your family?
About like you'd expect. My mother's determined to get things back to normal, which is impossible. And my sister's deep in depression. Which reminds me, I need to talk to her therapist and change her appointment for her. I'll call you later.
That was abrupt, he felt, but the best he could do.